for my sin and your sin, then I can ask Him to forgive me and save me. But I know, as you know, not only do I need to ask God for forgiveness when I come initially to be born again and to receive Christ, but do you ever have to come back again in your life somewhere along the way when you've been out of line and asked Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you and put you back in right relationship? Aren't you glad He's willing to do that more than once? Because if He only did it once when we're saved, we're in trouble. Because I don't know any of us who've ever lived a life without ever sinning again after you become a Christian. And so I'm grateful. But He does it not because we ask for it, but it's based on the blood of Christ shed on the cross. He is the one who initiated that. He is the one who makes that possible. And so we come today to take these two reminders. I hope I can remember, Lord, thank you. The only way I'm forgiven is because of what you did on the cross. And I've accepted that for my own life. So His death is the only way. Secondly, it was the only way we could be restored with God. It was the only way we could be restored with God. Is there a difference between being forgiven and being restored? Somebody's thinking about that. Can you be pardoned legally and not be restored to who you were before or the position you had before? Yeah. God could forgive us without restoring us. He doesn't. But I'm grateful that in the process, because of the blood of Christ, because of His death for us, we're not only forgiven of our sins, but we are brought into a full, wonderful relationship with God through Jesus. Not because we did anything, but through what Christ did, and we receive what He did. So we come today to represent, to think about His body and His death for us and His giving Himself for us. We remember that's the only thing that brought me back into right relationship with God and causes me to know that I belong to Him. Let me read the scripture passages, a couple of them on your notes. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Notice He said, we're to conduct ourselves in right manner, fear and sin, trembling, knowing you are not redeemed with perishable things, whatever we could generate, but we're redeemed with what? The precious blood of Jesus. You think that Father who looked down that day was thinking this is precious blood as he watched his son die on the cross? Those of us who have kids, if our kids hurt or bleed, isn't that special to us? Don't they have a special spot? Well, the Father watched his son die on the cross and bleed for us. It's precious blood. So I'm grateful today that out of that, God said I could be restored to a right relationship with God. Because outside the blood of Christ and the death of Jesus, we are separated from God and will always be separated from God. Nothing we ever do or say or any behavior we can ever generate will put us into a right relationship with God. Only the blood of Christ, who died on the cross for us, redeems us and restores us to full fellowship with God the Father. So if you have a fellowship with God today, it's because Jesus gave His life for you. What I think of in that light is the parable Jesus told about the son who wasted all of his substance and riotous living and blew it all. He decided to go back home and repent, tell his father, I've sinned against you. But when he came back home, the father didn't say, oh, well, you can come back, but you've got to live out with all the servants. What did he say? You're going to come back as full sonship. Put a ring on your hand. That means a sign, a symbol of your loyalty. You belong to me. The robe, the symbol of righteousness. And he bought a big calf and had a party. He said, my son was lost and come again. You realize what he's saying? That father is saying, you're not coming back as a second-rate son. You're coming back in full sonship. And I'm going to restore you. Aren't you glad that when you come to Christ, He not only forgives you, but He restores you to a full relationship with the Holy God, and you belong to Him. Praise the Lord. I hope as you think about that as we worship. On the other side of your notes, a couple other things I want to think about. It was the only way we could be God's child. It was the only way we could be God's child through what He did. Scripture says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. How do we get born of God? Because of the blood of Christ. Because of the death of Jesus and our receiving it in our life. Notice He said, as many as received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Now listen, is it good to be a child of God or not? Is it a privilege to be called children of God? But I think more than that, isn't it a privilege for God the Father to look down to each one of us and say, you're my child, you're my child, you're my child. I claim you. Because when I think about who I am and what I've been and what I where I lack, I wonder that God even claims me. But I'm so glad He does. But why does He claim me? Not because I've generated a lot of good stuff. He claims me because I've been born again by the blood of Jesus. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And God says that person belongs to my son. And because they belong to my son, I claim them as my child. To be a child of God, folks, is a blessing. By the grace of God in Christ. So as many as received Him, we get to be a child of God. So folks, I hope we recognize today through the death of Jesus, we're going to take these two elements. And when you think, thank you, God, that I'm a child of God. I'll always be a child of God. I'll live with God forever because I'm His child. I'm glad God doesn't ever kick out His kids. He claims them forever. Thank you, Lord, because of Jesus. Because He died for us. Not because of anything else we do. We receive that by faith, but we receive that. The last thing on your notes, it was the only way we could be assured of heaven. It was the only way we could be assured of heaven. Are you looking forward to heaven? I think we all are. Some of us are saying we're not in a hurry to go yet. But are you sure that when you leave this world, when you die, our Lord Jesus comes, that you're going to... Do you know that in your own heart? Do you know that you'll go to heaven? You need to know that. And you can know that. Why? Because of what Jesus did for you when He died on the cross, took your sins, opened the way to God the Father. And we can be assured that we're going to heaven. The scripture passage says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Now he's talking about those who are physically dead in that when he said asleep. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, did you see that? Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So through our faith in Christ, we are assured that we go to heaven. Now let me ask you something. When you read the scripture, he says that when Jesus comes, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. But it also said, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. If He's going to bring them with Him, does they have to be with Him in order to come with Him? He can't bring them with Him unless they're already there. So there's that assurance. Notice he said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, his death makes us assured that we're going to heaven. And God, I'm grateful to know that when the last breath leaves this body and the last time that heart beats inside me, that Jesus is going to take me home to be with Him. And I'm going to live with God forever, forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you know that? You see, it's all because of what we celebrate, the death of Christ, who paid the penalty, who opened the door, provided the way. So my prayer is, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, that today you'll say, Jesus, I realize I've been doing a lot of stuff, but I haven't ever received you. And you ask Jesus Christ to become your Savior and Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. You cry out to Him and ask Him to forgive and restore you. He'll do it in that quickness if you're willing and your heart's open. He can change it for you. For those who already know Him, may we be this a time when we say, thank you, Jesus. You are the only way. And thank you for letting me be in on the only way. You, the living God. So let me think about this. I read this. It said Martin Luther, which some of you know about years ago, was one of the men who brought about a great change in Christianity. But in Family Devotions, He read the account in Genesis 22 of Abraham offering Isaac offering. He took Isaac up to offer him and was going to take his life as a sacrifice. Remember the story. But God stopped him. God didn't allow him to continue to do that. But his wife, Katie, said, "I don't believe it. God would not have treated his son like that." Luther said, "But he did. But he did. For us." And so this morning, as we come to share in this time of remembrance, I hope that we'll just celebrate the way, the truth, and the life. We will say, "Jesus, thank you for being my way. The only way I'd ever get where I've got. The hope I have today and the hope I have in the future. The forgiveness I have and the right relationship with God I have. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your body, dying in my place for my sins. Because when he died on the cross, my sins and yours too were all on the cross with Jesus." I like the song that says, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." I believe he saw all of us at once. I'm forgiven all those people because of my blood, my payment for their sins, if they'll believe in me. Let's bow together for a moment. And as we meditate and pray, my prayer is that if you don't know Jesus today, you'll ask him to come into your heart right now, just where you sit, and say, "Dear Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need you to restore me. I need you to bring me into right relationship with God." Many of us are already believers in Christ. We've already taken that initial step. Would you pray and just tell him, "Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, what you did and what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, that it's finished." As he said on the cross and we sung about earlier, "It's finished." May we worship him. May we honor him.